Welcome to the Putting Couch. This is our 10th episode. The Putting Couch is all things putting, brought to you by the Seymour Putter Company and our tour team. I'm Jim. I'm along with Cody and Ted. And today we've got Pat O'Brien. And we have had Pat before in one of our prior episodes talking about Payne Stewart and the 20-year anniversary of the greatest U.S. Open ever. But we did talk about bringing Pat on a regular basis starting today as our global tour putting ambassador. Pat O'Brien has coached and taught many of the best players in the world, and really many of the best putters in history have gotten there with the help of Pat. So, Pat, it's great to have you on this morning, and welcome.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me, always.
Morning, POB.
Pat is the director of instruction at Lakewood Country Club in Dallas, Texas. He grabbed Zach Johnson on the mini tours and worked with him on what he thought was going to be a way to ensure a long-term putting stroke that would withstand pressure and what have you. And that all came from his relationship with Payne Stewart. So we Pat was thanked during the Masters ceremony in 2007 when Zach Johnson won the green jacket. And I think anybody that's ever watched Zach Johnson putt, the one thing they say is he is an unbelievable putter. He's incredibly consistent. He has the same system every single time. And Pat O'Brien and the Seymour Putter were really behind that. But Pat, I know that, you know, let's get right down to it. You are sought after by people and golfers around the world. They come to see you at Lakewood, and occasionally you'll see them out on tour. But tell us about sort of your basic philosophies when it comes to teaching putting and where you like to start.
So my philosophy with putting is that the way a putter is designed, the way it's weighted, it's essentially a weight attached to the end of a stick. And the balance point of that is somewhere down near the head, depending on how heavy the grip is. And sometimes the toe hangs straight down. Sometimes it's points, you know, the face points towards the sky. That to me really doesn't matter a whole lot. The shaft goes in to the head at an angle, somewhere around 70 degrees. So what all that means is, if you control the putter the right way with no tension and you don't push on that balance point, then it's designed to swing up and around on an arc. And then it's weighted to return right back to where it started squarely. So there's really nothing that you have to do in a putting stroke except get pretty neutral to that putter and let it swing. And so the grip is obviously where it starts, because that's your connection to the putter. So that's what we'll focus on today. And it's about as simple as you can make it, really.
So yeah, so you started sort of by observing Payne Stewart's grip, and that was 20 years ago. And I know you brought those philosophies to teaching a lot of tour players. And I mean, are there different ways to grip a putter? Or I mean, how's your you know, thinking evolved in that area?
That's a good question. Yes, there are many different ways to grip a putter, and we see them all the time. We saw them yesterday in the final round of the Open Championship. You know, the pencil grip with Fleetwood or Shane Lowry going left hand low. The Payne Stewart grip. We'll kind of, let me backtrack a little bit. I have always gripped the putter in my fingers, and I figured that out in high school. And I had a certain style that I loved, and it worked for me. When I started to analyze why, it made perfect sense to me. And so I taught that, and I was really partial to that. And as I've gotten older and matured, I've realized that, you know, there are many different ways you can grip it. And it really doesn't matter, as long as there's no tension and you're not literally putting pressure on the putter by pushing down on the top of it on the balance point. So when I saw Payne Stewart and I saw what you know, the Seymour putter did for him, and it made him very consistent, I did pay attention to his grip. One of his big keys was he liked to feel a cup in his left wrist at setup, and then he would maintain that throughout the stroke. And that was his way of just taking all the variables out. I did pass that along to Zach Johnson. Zach's got a very unconventional grip that we can get into, but gave him that same key, and that's worked for him for a long time now. So that's really the deal. You can pick whatever grip you want, but it has to let the putter swing the way it's weighted.
PLB, I know when you taught us and we were going watching you teach and still a mentor of ours, you grip was a huge part of the lesson. And it, you know, it took us a little bit to get used to having it in the fingers because of the fact that, you know, we were never taught for the most part how to hold the putter growing up. At least I wasn't. And so once we realized putting it in your fingers, it's really very comfortable and you're able to release the putter head. But like you said, you need to have the being open to having different types of grips. So when someone comes here to the studio and they're left hand low, you know, one of the questions I ask them is how long have they been left hand low? And if they said, oh, I've been left hand low for, you know, 3, 4, 5 years, I'm really not going to change their grip. But if they come in and say, oh, you know, I've tried the pencil yesterday, I'd left hand low last week, conventional here, then, you know, we would dive more into, you know, okay, let's be a little bit more consistent on your grip. And here's the reason why. I mean, what are your thoughts on, you know, you want someone to stick with the grip and stay with it for at least some long term, correct?
Yeah, that's a great point, Ted. The young Pat O'Brien would have just changed their grip right away because I'm so passionate about holding the fingers because it's a perfect matchup and it's an easy way to let it swing, but then you're changing a grip. And making a grip change, whether it's a putting stroke or a golf swing, isn't always the most pleasant experience. And it's a little bit of a high maintenance thing. So if I sent somebody away with showing them a grip, my grip, then they're kind of out on their own for a while. And they might go back and they might not do it perfectly and get the benefits of it. So as I've matured, I realize that it really comes down to, you know, let's say... And this goes into the advent of the bigger grips that are out there on the market now. Back in the day, so to speak, you were taught, or we were taught, or it's been around for 100 years, really, or more, to hold the putter in the palms or the lifelines. And if you think about it, agronomy was different a long time ago. Greens were slower, probably Bermuda, grainy. So the putting stroke was more of a pop stroke out of necessity. So the best way to do that is to put it in the palms with a regular size grip, and it's easy to get really wristy back and through and really pop the ball. So people still have that paradigm just because it's been passed around for so long. So if you do hold it in your palms, that's okay. You might want to go to a bigger size grip so you don't end up squeezing the putter, because then you're introducing tension and literally putting pressure on the putter so it won't swing freely. So yes, you can, you know, you can make a grip change, but at the end of the day, you just have to control it the best you can without your palms or your thumbs, because that's what's going to restrict the flow of motion on the putter.
It, with your students that you see, what's one of the, why do they make a grip change? Is it a quick fix for them, do you think? A Band-Aid and then it just sticks and so they go with it? Or is it the student that, yeah, I was conventional for a long time and I started, you know, hitting the ball right and so forth. And so I made this change, or I saw, you know, the pencil grip on tour. So I thought that and I started making them and now it's stuck. Is that what you've seen in your students?
So, excuse me. What usually happens when somebody makes a grip change is impact feels awful. They feel the left hand break down. They feel the right hand take over if you're a right-handed golfer. And it's just not a very good feeling. So they might go left hand low. They might go pencil grip, saw grip, anything to neutralize that right hand. So the problem essentially lies in the left hand not having enough leverage on the putter, and the right hand having too much, there's no balance. So if you put in the fingers, like I teach for a lot of people, it balances things out. If you go cross-handed, it might balance things out. If you go saw or claw or pencil, it's just an attempt to neutralize that right hand. So that's a part of it. And where that all comes from really is the putter goes back too low. And that's the whole key, I think, to putting. When I watch somebody's putting stroke, I just watch the start of it. If the putter gets out of the ground, because again, it's a weight on a stick, then you've got gravity on your side. Gravity is going to have that putter fall back down into a square position and impact with no thought. But if it goes back lower than that, because you're putting pressure on it, keeping it low, whatever your paradigm is, then you have to accelerate that head to get it back to the ball. And that's where the problems lie. And so people start to feel the right hand take over, because it's literally having to take over to get the bottom of the arc back to where it should be, if that makes sense.
So Pat, the grip is obviously, in your opinion, critical, not just because you want somebody to have really a better feel for the game on the greens, but really you want a grip that neutralizes any tendencies for the hands to somehow want to manipulate the putter.
That's correct. Yes. Yeah. And, you know, and I think we saw a couple yesterday, for example, the final round of the Open Championship, you have two guys, Fleetwood and Lowry, who probably grew up on slower greens, probably played in a lot of wind. And so their putting strokes really reflect their environments. Shane takes the putter back a little bit too low, in my opinion, and then he accelerates it, and it finishes pretty high. And it's more of a pop stroke. And Tommy, even with his pencil grip, kind of the same thing. There's a little bit of a resistance on the backswing, and then there's a little bit of a pop action on the way through. And I don't know statistically. They did mention something about Tommy statistically not being very good at putting. So I would say their putting strokes are a little bit too forceful and not flowing, but maybe that was a product of their environment. And they figured out a way to at least make putting neutral, so it's not hurting them. Maybe it's not helping them, but their ball striking's such that they give themselves enough opportunities that they're going to make some of them.
How would a student or somebody listening to the podcast know that, you know, if maybe they have an issue with the grip? I mean, what are some of the warning signs?
Resistance. It doesn't feel smooth. Like we said, the trail hand for most people, the right hand takes over. The left hand breaks down. It's just impact doesn't feel very good. You catch putts thin. You catch them on the toe, on the heel, all over the place. Your speed's not very good. So all these things are an indication that the gravity is not on your side in a putting stroke. So whatever grip you pick, if you don't push down on the top of the putter, which is going to affect the balance point, then the putter is going to swing up on the backswing. And if it swings up on the backswing, then it will fall down and it will return to square, and you really don't have to do anything. So really the one thing that you need to do with your grip, no matter what grip you pick, is don't squeeze down on top of the putter.
Pat, what, excuse me, we see a lot of different grips on tour, like you saw in the final group yesterday at the Open, but one of the things I think, you know, and those guys practice a lot, so they're able to repeat it over and over, but I think one of the things like we see is how important is grip to getting your shoulders and forearms aligned, because I think great putters, you know, you see a lot of it on tour, I think they have, you know, square forearms and square shoulders. How important is the grip to being able to set up that way for an average golfer?
Yeah, great question, Cody. That's, you know, the model, I think, for years was Tiger Woods. He's about as square as you can be and neutral and not a lot of shoulder tilt. So it's easier to have the putter go on the correct path when all those things are matched up. You know, the disadvantage could potentially be if you go left hand low, your shoulders and forearms are going to be a little bit closed. And so maybe you have to compensate for that by opening your stance more, doing something to neutralize that path. So ideally, you want everything to be square, and that way you don't have to think about it. But if you do pick a grip that gets your forearms out of a square alignment, then you have to do something to compensate for that, basically. And I think you'll probably notice that most on, say, a left to right putt, where if the path is going out to the right because you're closed off, then you're going to really have to open up to neutralize that.
Now, Pat, I know, first of all, I know you've been coaching and teaching a long, long time. You obviously coach and teach players that use all types of putters and all types of grips. But one of the things at Seymour is that, you know, a number of our putters have what we call the concept of this sort of face balanced at impact design, where to your earlier point, it is designed for the putter head to swing on that natural arc plane, to just sort of without resistance, it will slightly open as you, it'll just follow that natural plane. So in that particular case, a grip that is completely neutral and allows the putter to just sort of do its work would be absolutely an ideal match. So a lot of golfers, you know, we know are playing with putters that don't necessarily allow that, right? Some of the large offset mallets have real deep weighting. We know the tendency of those putters is to be open, right? Because all the weight is sort of pulling it back during the stroke. When golfers are using those types of putters, you know, at that point in time, how do they build a putting, you know, how do they build a grip? Does it have to compensate for that? Is it more difficult, I guess, from your perspective?
Yeah, that's a good question point, Jim. We talk about that sometimes. So if you pick a putter that has, let's say, a high MOI, so it's got weight all over, so if you miss hit it, it's going to be more forgiving. It'll be more forgiving, let's say, for speed, but not necessarily for start line. And when you get those really high MOI putters, sometimes you're right, they don't want to return to square as easily. And I think people really notice that on left to righters. So, you know, you don't necessarily have to go to those types of putters for forgiveness if you control the putter the right way. So you got to look at it a little bit backwards. If I control this putter the right way with no tension and I let it swing, it's going to return to square. So therefore, my contact is going to be good. I'm going to hit it on the center of the face. I don't necessarily need forgiveness. So you're really putting a Band-Aid on a situation. It all goes back to fundamentals at the end of the day. Get into a good setup, control it the right way, and then get the heck out of the way and let it swing the way it's weighted.
Pat, that's a great point. And then sort of taking that one step further, you know, the way you grip it, let's say between the fingers and the lifeline, whichever the student chooses, obviously trying to get in a neutral position. We see a lot of players, once they get set up, they have the putter they want, then they start trying to create artificial angles to get the putter to rest or soul perfectly flat on the ground. So if you grip it in the fingers versus a lifeline and you're trying to maintain a neutral wrist angle, shouldn't there be a different lie angle that you would suggest for that player in order to get properly set up each time? And the grip sort of influences that?
Oh yeah, great point, Cody. You're exactly right. So if you grip in the fingers, and what I mean by fingers is, you have your thumb pad and you have your heel pad. And your heel pad, when you grip in the fingers, sits a little bit on top of the grip. So similar to a golf club, which pretty much everybody holds a golf club that way except for DeChambeau, let's say. So when you grip it in the fingers, the lie angle has to come down a little bit flatter. Otherwise, there's too much tension. So generally speaking, when I fit people for a grip in the fingers, my lie angle is 68 degrees, sometimes 67 degrees, especially for women. And if you grip it in the palms, then the lie angle is usually generally 70 degrees, maybe 71 degrees, because you have a different kind of leverage. If you raise your wrist in the palms, you arch it, it goes into a little bit of flexion, then that's another way to control it. So you're exactly right. You pick the grip that feels best, and then you have to pick the lie angle that corresponds to that.
PLB, piggying back on that, the physical circumference of the grip, how important is that per case with your hand size? I mean, do you like the big fat grips or the small skinny grips? How does that also pertain to the grip making a good putting stroke? And how many times do you find yourself changing the size of the grip from the student or player that comes and sees you?
Yeah, another great point, Teddy. You guys are on top of your games this morning. you know, when you get fitted for a putter, as you guys know very well, that matters too. So grip style, how you want to hold the putter, and then grip size corresponds to that. If you hold it in your fingers, then, you know, I'll ask people sometimes, what's your glove size? And I'll look that, you know, if I have a hand that's maybe a little bit bigger than average, I don't really want a small grip because it's going to be bouncing around between the walls of my hands, and I'm going to tend to want to grip it a little bit tighter subconsciously to not feel that. And then that destroys the purpose of the finger grip of, you know, not creating extra tension, let's say. So yes, just like a golf club, grip size matters. You don't want to subconsciously have to squeeze it. And then when you go in the palms or the lifelines, then I think you need to go bigger because your palms need to feel that mass in there. So the tendency again is to not squeeze it. Squeezing it with your palms and thumbs again is kind of the death move in a putting grip. That creates resistance, and then that creates applied force, and you're going to be all over the place.
You know, we did conclude the major championship season. Yesterday was the Open Championship. I thought Shane Lowry's win was one for the ages. I thought it was a tremendously popular victory. I mean, how can you not root for an Irishman winning the, you know, first Open Championship in Ireland in 68 years? And it was tremendous to watch the juxtaposition yesterday. You know, it was all about Shane Lowry and Tommy Fleetwood yesterday. If you go back to Saturday, we probably saw one of the greatest rounds in Open Championship history. And we saw Rory McIlroy, you know, miss the cut, and pressure was involved. Not many of us are probably going to play in those open conditions yesterday afternoon. Most of us would be in the 19th hole pretty quick. But a lot of us are going to play under pressure. And, you know, whether that's pressure to shoot our best score, pressure in a club championship, pressure in a member guest. So you had a lot of pressure yesterday. And from what you observed, I mean, you're talking about not gripping the club too tight. Isn't that what pressure normally sort of makes you want to do? So how do you have your students prepare for pressure and what how that might change their putting stroke in the grip?
Well, good question. Pressure's obviously a very prevalent in any sort of competition, whether you're playing a match at your club or you're playing in the last round of a major. And, you know, the bigger the event, let's say, the more energy there is attached to it from spectators and from competitors. So, but it's all your perception of things anyway. So if you're feeling pressure, whatever it may be, the tendency would be to have more tension. So to be proactive, acknowledge the pressure, breathe, tell yourself good things, just calm down. That's the biggest thing. Adrenaline is attached to pressure. So some people take adrenaline and call it nerves and butterflies, and some people call it excitement. Like, I can't wait to play. I'm amped up to play. It's the same thing. And so the goal and the trick, let's say, is to dial that down the best you can. And it has to be through breathing. It has to be through walking slowly. And again, not squeezing down on the putter. You can hold something in your fingers. You know, the people that are listening to this, if you hold either hand out in front of you and you just fold your fingers in half and barely touch the tip of your palm, then you can press down as hard as you want with those fingers, and your forearm's still going to be relaxed. It's only when you make a fist and squeeze your palm or push down on your thumb, that's when you feel the tension go into your forearms. So if you want to grip it tighter on your fingers. Just don't clamp down on it with your palms or your thumbs. Relax your jaw, soften your eyes, breathe, and then let it go.
POB, what do you think about grip pressure? And I mean, one of the things I've always thought when I was playing, and I mean, even teaching in here, it's not about the starting grip pressure as much as it is trying to maintain whatever you have throughout the stroke. So it keeps you relaxed and it keeps you tension free throughout the stroke. What are your thoughts on grip pressure?
So that's another good point. And I'm going to use Zach Johnson as a reference with this. And he did this. I did not teach him this. He did this instinctively. So he shot 60 twice on tour, and he shot it once at La Cantera down in San Antonio after a morning rainstorm. And those were grainy Bermuda greens. So they were probably rolling about, I'd say, probably a 9, let's say. So they're not very fast. And then he shot 60 at the Tour Championship at Eastlake. And those greens are probably about closer to 13. So they're super fast. So there's some talent for you. So what he did instinctively was, and this is what I'll tell some people, when you get to extremes, then I think the cadence or rhythm of your putting stroke ought to change. So if you're on a 13 green super fast, I think your cadence is going to be more like a Ben Crenshaw, just very slow and syrupy and flowing, because you don't really need a whole lot of energy to that ball. Gravity is going to take it most of the way. And when you get on slow greens, if you have that same stroke, I think you're going to struggle a little bit. So Zach's default is more of a kind of a 1-2 quick type stroke. And that works great on slow greens, grainy greens. So his default's good. So instinctively, when he gets on faster greens like Augusta or the Tour Championship, his rhythm slowed way down. It was much more of a flowing rhythm. And you can do that by altering the finger pressure on the grip. If you grip it really securely in your fingers, your cadence is going to change, going to activate different muscles. If you barely hold on to it, your cadence is going to change, going to be a lot more slow and syrupy. So you can play around with that. That to me is another advantage of the finger grip. And I got one more advantage to a finger grip, or if you choose to putt however you want to putt, I think this is the secret to golf, and this is going to be an exclusive to this podcast, because I don't really talk about it a whole lot, because I really think it's a secret. So you guys ready for this?
Ready. Bring it on, POB. Bring it on.
Okay. So the reason why guys like McIlroy struggle with putting is this. If you hold something in your palm or your lifeline, and your shoulder, your left shoulder, your lead shoulder is more in its socket, say. Like if you have really good posture, your shoulder is going to be in its socket, okay? So if you set up like that, then that shoulder is not going to rotate properly. It's not going to rotate across your chest. It's going to go a little bit underneath you, and then you're going to have to hold on to it on the way through. So it's more of a kind of like a block type stroke almost. Whereas if you grip it in your fingers, or if you just decide to let that shoulder get out of its socket, that totally changes the mechanics of your arm and your shoulder. And it's going to be able to swing freely across your body, and then it's going to be able to release the other way very naturally. So if somebody's at home, I want you to do this. I want you to hold your left arm, pull your shoulder back in its socket, and try to make a stroke. It's going to be very, very restricted, and you're going to feel a little bit of a block on the way through. And then do the opposite. Just detach that thing from its socket. Wing it almost. Just really round it and then swing it. You're going to notice how freely your arm swings back and through. So whatever grip you pick, your left shoulder has to be, fancy term, internally rotated. And once it gets there, then it really becomes a free swing.
That's such great information, POB.
I don't tell that to a lot of people because
Cool.
I feel like it's almost proprietary. So if somebody happens to listen to this podcast, you just got a little nugget of gold there. And go ahead and tell Rory. I'll probably never get to see
him. No, you're.
If I ever did, honest to God, that his putting would be fixed in about 5 minutes.
Well, I'm heading to Memphis in about 5 minutes, so I'm gonna go track him down. All right, and I'll keep your cell phone number on that speed dial, because you know, I think he'd love to have some advice. I know. We are wrapping up this great podcast with our friend Pat O'Brien, the director of instruction at Lakewood Country Club in Dallas, Texas. And really, I think the finest putting instructor in the world. He's been at it the longest. He's taught the most. He's fitted the most. He thinks about it deeply, as you guys know. We will have Pat on a monthly basis. You know, Zach Johnson, we talked a little bit about Zach. Zach actually has switched within the Seymour range to a higher MOI putter called the Mini Giant Deep Flange, but it's one that has exactly the same dynamics as the FGP, meaning it's high MOI, but not in the way that we talked about earlier. This putter absolutely wants to stay square at all times, again, allowing him to do all the things that he does best and just let the putter do the work. And in the last couple major championships, he finished 15th in putting at the U.S. Open, and he actually had the fewest putts at the British Open, the Open Championship yesterday. He averaged 26 putts around. Obviously, it was not the finish he wanted. He didn't have all parts of his game dialed in, but he, you know, 26 putts around is something that is not going to kill you most of the time. So congratulations, Pat, on all your success. Where can people learn more about you and what's going on with Pat O'Brien?
So I've got a website, Pat O'Brien Golf, PATOBRIEN golf.com. And then if you want to learn about a finger grip, go to perfectputtinggrip.com. A buddy of mine and I made a grip sticker that you can just attach to the top of your putter. It tells you exactly where your fingers go, where your heel pad goes. Comes with a cool note card with instructions and pictures, and it's a neat way to learn how to grip the putter in the fingers, and then you can kind of decide for yourself which way is best for you.
That's awesome. We've been on the putting couch today with Pat O'Brien and enjoying every minute of it. And POB, we'll get you scheduled again about a month out. So until then, great golfing and keep up all the great work.
Thanks, guys. You too. I really appreciate it.
We appreciate you joining us. If you haven't subscribed to the show, make sure you do wherever you're listening. Be sure to leave a rating and review, because that's how we get the Putting Couch podcast content in front of more people. Also, take a screenshot and share it on social media and tag us at Seymour Putters or hashtag Team Seymour.